Hey, this is Jeff Floyd, pastor of C3 Church Bathurst, and this is our podcast. Thank you for joining us today. C3 Bathurst brings life to people by helping them to be revived, restored, and released through getting to know Jesus and his people. We hope that this message will bring you life today. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for your word. As we come around your word, just thank you. Thank you that it speaks to us, that it's life-giving, that it stirs us, and this morning teach us about you from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I've been loving January. I really do like the start of things and the start of new years and setting goals and dreams and that's just kind of who I am. I like the start of a day. And January's been all about love. What a good thing to start the year in love. Because when Jesus was asked, you know, what's the greatest commandment? Remember, he said, love the Lord. Love. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That was the 1st of January. Love your neighbor as yourself. And so we explored what it was to love your neighbor last week. But there's this kind of funny little thing that Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself. And if you skip over that, you miss something really critical about the way that Jesus views us. And this is tremendously exciting because the view of ourselves, how we see ourselves, is so critical to how we're going to respond to our neighbors. And did you know that you are a design of infinite worth? Did you know that? Let me tell you a story. You might know that I'm a bit of a French car fan. And every now and then I like to explore ideas and designs. But in 1955, there's a car coming up on the screen here. Citroën launched a car that was so radical. Have a good look at that. 1955, the world is emerging from war. France, obviously devastated, right? And a guy called Bertone, who's a sculptor by trade, he pulled into Citroën to craft the most beautiful car ever made. Of course, beauty is subjective. But many people think that this is the epitome of beauty. And it's one of those iconic designs for 20 years. A 20-year run, that's a long time for a car. They produced 3 million cars. On the first day, they sold 12,000 cars. When it was first revealed, 12,000 people said, yeah, I want one. It became the icon of Paris and France. And apparently the French president was almost murdered in one, but it managed to drive away without wheels or something. It had some legendary ideas, but it was so technically advanced. You know, hydropneumatic suspension, it rode on a cushion of air. It had four-wheel disc brakes, you know, all the technical stuff that was just really ahead of its time. But the beauty of it, and so when somebody looks at that, they think beauty, perhaps. I do. And although Bertone died, the designer, died in 1964, I wonder, every time he looked at one of those Citroën DSs, I wonder what he would have felt. I wonder if you've sculpted something so beautiful, and every time you see it, you go, oh. I remember shaping that curve. I remember the angle of the windscreen. I remember the way that it kind of tails off at the back. How would you feel to create something so beautiful? Maybe you have. Maybe you have sculpted things out of wood or crafted things or made music or written books or all kinds of arts. Maybe, how do you feel about your work of art when you look at it? Even if most other people think, not sure about that. But beauty and love and passion are right there. You know, another designer from another era started from scratch. I mean, a blank sheet of paper. We talk about that, you know, starting from scratch. This designer really did start from scratch when there was absolutely nothing to work with. And in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God, the ultimate designer, started creating heavens, earth, you know, a planet or two here and there, rocks, a couple of mountains and a tree, a few fish. No, it was incredible. It was unbelievable what he made. I mean, he didn't just create a couple of stars. He just created billions and billions of stars and planets and just the most amazing space. If you ever bothered to look up, which we don't, oh my goodness. And then just think of our planet Earth. The amount of fish in the sea and leviathans and like the amount of creativity and animals and plants that we're still discovering. We're still finding out things that we've never seen before. And the bottom of the depths of the earth to the jungles, to the west coast of Tasmania, the Huon Pines. God has created something incredible. But that wasn't all. He looks at all his stuff that he made. He's sculpted by hand, way more beautiful than a DS. Because there's something missing. There's another, I've got this feeling, right? I love the animals, I love the dogs, but do you know what? I haven't finished yet. I'm going to create the best design. I'm going to put my thumbprint on it. And in Genesis 1:27, it says, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. No other creation has that comment created in his image. When he made it, he said, that's very good. That's not just good, that's very good. People, us, men, women, on all the variety that would come, nations and races and language groups and cultures and age, and like, he created us all and said, that's very good. But created in his image. It's like I've put something of my soul into this creation. It's more than just a dog. As cute as dogs are, as wonderful. People, way more special, unbelievable. We're made fearfully and wonderfully, says Psalm 139. Fearfully and wonderfully. Like God knitted us together. He actually designed us before the creation of the world. Did you know that? Ephesians 1 talks about that. Before he made anything, he actually had all of us in mind. He actually was thinking about, I mean, it's probably 10 billion people, like maybe 8 billion on the planet right now, maybe 100 billion have ever lived. Imagine designing 100 billion. I want you to see the glory of creation. And the epitome of creation, people, it's you. So when Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself, how do you view yourself? Jesus knows every hair on your head. So how do you view yourself? It's incredible. The human design. You and I come from a sculptor that doesn't make rubbish, doesn't make mistakes, doesn't make accidents. Has the best modeling engineering ideas. And he has created something infinitely beautiful in you. And so, that is how we view ourselves, right? If Jesus says, love your neighbor as you love yourself, pity your neighbor if you don't love yourself. I know that we get caught up in love of self, self-esteem and all that, you know. I'm not talking about some empty propping up and making myself feel good. That's emptiness. I'm talking about God esteem, not self-esteem. I'm talking about creating God's view of me, not me. Because if I'm honest, there's an elephant in the room here. All of us feel like I don't quite match up. Felt that? I'm not quite. I'm not quite there. There's another picture. I'm out of order, Naomi. But here's a picture. I'm off script. Some of us feel like this. Is that a Citroën DS? Is that made by, designed by Bertone? Was that crafted in some factory with beauty and love and creativity? Absolutely it was. But over the years, things happen, right? A bit of rust develops. You don't steer so well these days. It's hard to start in the morning. Like Citroëns need a while to start. Have you ever seen them pump up? Maybe you're a bit slow to get up in the mornings. Maybe the wipers don't work anymore. Maybe you don't brake too hard. And maybe some people have done stuff to you and there's a few dents along the way. Maybe you've done stuff to yourself, or maybe you've kind of driven in this kind of stuff that's happened. You see, all of us carry a bit of a scar. All of us kind of feel like that somewhere. Maybe we do feel like we've left alone in some rusty garage covered in dust that nobody can see or appreciate who we really are underneath that, until somebody in some barn find TV show comes and says, "Wow, Citroën DS." That's you this morning. No matter how you're feeling, God goes, look at this. And you're going, "Oh man, so much dust and dent and rust and rubbish and the stuff that's around me is not helping me. It's all, I'm in this environment which is not conducive to life and joy and freedom." But deep down you are of worth and value. Deep down, you give that thing a wash and a polish and replace some parts and fix things up again. That's what Jesus does to us. He restores our soul. He guides us in paths of righteousness so we don't end up here. But if you do, it's okay, because he's forever. He is the master restorer. Did you know that? He's the one who puts us back together again, who gives us that original beauty so that we are who we were made to be, unblemished, beautiful, without spot, stain, or blemish, that you and I will stand before God one day and not feel like this. We're actually going to feel like Jesus. We're actually going to smile when we meet him face to face. This is the elephant in the room. How do you love somebody inside when we feel like that? How do you overcome those feelings of inadequacy and fear and guilt and shame and the history of stuff that's been done to you or you've done to yourself? And how do you move from here back to your original design purpose? That's what Jesus does. You see, Romans 3, verse 10 says there's no one righteous, not even one. It says that no one understands. Paul is quoting a psalm. And Paul is actually echoing so much of the Old Testament scriptures where there's no one who was good. Even God's people, they continually got astray. They continually got things wrong. Paul's writing, he says, look, no one's made it. No one's worthy. No one seeks God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. So how do we reconcile that wrestle inside? I feel rubbish, but yet God says he's made me in his image. I feel like this, but really I'm this. How do we bring that together so I don't live with my head down in shame for the rest of my life, but yet I'm not arrogant and annoying? Right? Here's some ideas. Here's three clear ideas that I see in the scripture, because we are glorious yet fallen. Number one, let's not compare with each other. Don't compare. Ephesians 2:10 says that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand. You are his workmanship, created for good works, that God prepared ahead of time for you, not for the other person. God has things for you. You are his workmanship designed for a certain purpose. Just like a car is designed for a certain purpose. Some cars don't do well off-road. Some cars don't do well on a racetrack. Some cars don't do well, you know, anywhere. But you, what's your calling? What's God called you to be? What piece of the puzzle? What are your passions? What has God gifted you in? What good works is God calling in? Don't compare that with the person next to you. Even if the person next to you, you think, wow, that's so much more significant. That's so much better. I've just got this, but this person gets to do this. You know, you might want to be the prime minister. I wouldn't want to be the prime minister right now. You go, wow, Mr. Morrison, man, he's the prime minister. I'll never get to be the prime minister. All I've got. It's his calling, not your calling. Maybe it is. But you see, work out what your calling is. And then when you start to move in that, you realize that you're flowing in the way that God's designed you to be. And you actually get encouragement from other people when they're doing their thing in their calling, in their lane. Stick to your lane. Everybody's in their lane. And then the glory of God comes. Because we're not going, oh, I wish I was like that person. I'm not. Because it just makes us feel inadequate, doesn't it? God hasn't designed us to feel inadequate. He's designed us to live to the glory of God with whatever gifts and calling he's given us. That's going to transform your world. So value your workmanship. Value God's workmanship. Enjoy being you because everybody else is taken. Number two is about repentance. Repentance? What do you mean repentance? What's that got to do with who I am? It's everything. Find freedom in repentance. Look at this scripture. Acts 3 verse 19. Luke is writing, he says, repent therefore and turn back that your sins may be blotted out. Let me explain that a little bit. Repent just means to turn. It literally means to, I'm going this way and now I know that I should go this way. It just means to stop, consider and take a new direction. It's to turn, it's like a U-turn. I'm going down this path which is destructive, it's not good for me, it's not good for anyone. I'm going to stop that and go back this way. That's repentance. It's a turn. He says, repent, turn back, that your sins may be blotted out. Remember that verse in Romans that says that everybody has fallen, everybody's got stuff wrong? Well, actually, you don't need to stay there. Because it says here, if you repent and turn back, that all your sins are blotted out. It's like they were never there to start. They're completely wiped out. That's the incredible value of repentance. And as you do that, look at this. It says, times of refreshing will come from the presence of the Lord. You're going to be refreshed because you're not living in that space anymore. You're not living for stuff that's harmful. You're not in that rusty shed, but you're turning back to your Creator. Suddenly, all of the negative stuff and the things are dropping off, and you're starting to be refreshed by the presence of God. And in the presence of God, there's fullness of joy. In the presence of God, you realize who you were created to be. In the presence of God, you start to get a sense of how worthful you are. It's going to transform your world. Don't ignore your faults. Right? That's the trap of our world. Don't ignore them. We've all got faults. Just admit them to God. It's not weakness. Acknowledge them. You see, repentance says that change is possible. Some people think, I can never change. You can. Repentance is the way. Repentance says change is possible. It's actually good news. Because it says that necessary changes are possible. You can do this. And as you come back, you actually rediscover your core purpose in who you are. This could be in small things. You know, when the Holy Spirit just kind of taps you on the shoulder and says, ah, you shouldn't be doing that. Well, that's destructive. Or just stop looking at that and stop thinking like that. Or it could just be your whole life where you feel like, I just need to change everything. It's called salvation. So that's the second thing. You will find freedom when you start to turn away from the things that are destructive and you'll find refreshment come in there. And the last one is to walk with Jesus. Sounds kind of simple, right? Walk with Jesus. But here's the deal. What if you could talk daily to your creator? Like, think of that car, that Citroen. If you're going to restore a Citroen, who would be the best person to talk to? I reckon it's the designer. The guy who would have spent probably a year or more just penning, crafting, shaping, sculpting. They would know everything. And the chief engineer and the people who put it together, they would be the best people to talk to, if you could. Imagine if you feel like there's something wrong in your world, going back to the creator who made you and going, just tell me about that. Or imagine being trying to work out something in your world. What if I just check in with the person that made me? You know that you can. You can actually do this. You can actually can do it whenever you like. You don't need to kind of make an appointment in Paris. You can do it whenever you like. You can check in with the one who made you. You can check in with the one who understands you more than anybody else. You can ask the questions. You can kind of get the DNA. You can get the download. It's called prayer. It's called walking with Jesus. And that's why Jesus says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, or rusting, or abandoned, or just out of action. He says, just come to me, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. You can come to Jesus at any time, your creator, your maker, your restorer, the one who's going to refresh you and give you strength. If you do those three things, it's going to reinforce a right view of who you really are. Someone of incredible worth and value. Deeply flawed. We'll all be deeply flawed this side of heaven. Get used to it. But it doesn't mean we have to stay deeply flawed. Through repentance and walking with Jesus, you'll find that the flaws and the limitations and the guilt and the shame and the things that we all carry just start dropping off. And you'll find that your love of self in a right way, not an arrogant, proud way, but in a God-given way, will start to fuel the way that you love your neighbor. Because you start to be generous to yourself. You start to be kind to yourself. And the flow on is that same thing to your neighbor. You give each other grace and mercy and joy and not nitpicking and demanding and critical, but big-hearted and full of life towards the other people in your world. Isn't that an awesome thing? We're going to pray. Can I grab the musos on stage? I wanted just to leave some time for us to... for the Holy Spirit to come and embed that message in our heart. I believe it's a key message for us. I believe it's a key message for everybody. If people could reconcile this kind of two sides of them, one that I'm beautifully made and the other that I'm deeply flawed, it's going to make such a difference in your world and the lives of the people around you. I love this. I will build my life. Can we just build that? Can I invite you to stand? We're gonna sing in a minute. But I really do want to take some time in the Holy Spirit to land. There's things here this morning that maybe you feel, first up, you regret. Let's deal with that first. Some of you here are living in regret. I wish I hadn't done that. I wish it hadn't been that. I wish I had not wasted that. Or you're living in a sense of just... because of the decisions that you've made. It's time to put those things to bed right now. It's time to leave them behind right now. The future is now. It's from now. You can't change the past, but God can forgive you. And God can set. He even changes things that have gone against him. And he turns those things around for good. I tell you, God is a God of grace. So right now, if you're in that situation, I just sense there's some people here, you're living in regret. No more regret. Holy Spirit come. If you need to repent and just say sorry, do that right now. But then just leave that alone. Your life will not be defined by your past failures. You won't be defined by what the things you haven't done or have done. From now on, life comes. Jesus, come right now. Help people who are living with regret to be free from that. Right now, Holy Spirit, fill them with just a fresh start. The times of refreshing would come from the presence of the Lord. That's what the scripture says. When you stop and you turn, times of refreshing come from the presence of the Lord. Jesus, come. Minister to your peace. There's people here, you feel like you are not who God says you are. I tell you how amazing you are, and you go, no, I'm not. And you come up with all the excuses and all the reasons as to why you're not beautiful or made in God's image or of infinite worth and value, because that's what you are. But you're going to object and argue and say, no, because of this, this, or this. This morning, it's time just to leave that thinking behind. That thinking will get nowhere. It's going to limit you. In Jesus' name, I break that thought. In Jesus' name, every single person who's feeling like I am not who God says I'm praying that they would be replaced in their thinking with who they really are. A person of infinite worth and value, made in God's image, fearfully and wonderfully made. That's what the Bible says about you. Crafted by the master craft. When you were created, when you were born, God said, that's very good. That's perfection. Don't you let the effects of other people who run into you and bash you around change your worldview. You are a person of worth and value. Holy Spirit, I pray for each person. They would discover that beauty in them. They'd learn to really love themselves as you love them. Jesus. Jesus. There's one more group. There's people here this morning and online. And you feel like, I don't know how to make the connection between God and myself. I don't know how to reach my Creator. You really do feel like that car in a garage. Stuck, neglected, just abandoned. You've tried before to reach out. Even now, you just feel like, I'm just going to rust away. I don't know how to get up. I don't know how to get in. I don't know how to make anything of my life. I tell you, there is a restorer coming to your world. There's a redeemer coming to your world. His name is Jesus. You can't do it on your own. You're stuck. But Jesus can. He's going to open that door. He's going to get out the hose. He's going to wash off the cobwebs. He's going to get rid of the rust. He's going to do some panel beating. He's going to get your suspension up and running and your motor going. And he's going to give you a destiny and a purpose in life. I tell you, this morning there are people who are going to respond. Jesus is just opening the door of your heart. And you're going to say, yes, I want that. I'm sick of being stuck in this garage. I tell you, there is a beautiful future for every single person in this room, every single person watching online. It's going to be an amazing life. It's not always going to be easy, but it's going to be incredible. Holy Spirit, if that's you, I'd like you to respond. You just feel like, I'm going to open that door to Jesus, right? Is there anyone here? Just put your hand up. I'd love to pray for you. Online, jump in. Tell me, Jesus, Jesus, come. Come right across this room. Come and open up that door. Even people who know you, Lord Jesus, they're going to start discovering more and more and more of your restoration, of your freedom, of your power. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. That is you. All you got to do is say, Jesus, come in, restore me. I'm yours. Forgive me. Restore me. Take me. I acknowledge you as the Master and Lord, my Creator, my Designer.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. We'd love to get to know you better. Come and visit us at one of our Sunday services in Bathurst, rear of 217 Howard Street. Have a week filled with life.